Friday, June 24, the Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio. Very good morning if you're just tuning in. We've got the great Steve Blocker Roach joining us the whole show this morning. Loz is on holidays. Clarky and I are taking a week off next week as well. You'll have Ryan Phelan in the chair with JR and some rolling hosts.
Where are you going for your week off?
Goldie, mate.
Oh, cool. Goldie?
Goldie.
That's sunning good. Yourself.
Yeah. Just getting up there and...
A few mates up there.
You get in and have a jungle gym, the winner?
In the what, sorry?
You have a swim? Jungle gym?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Good. Got to. Got to. I've got to plug the West Tigers Legends Race Day next Saturday, July 2, at Rose Hill as well. And it's $275 a ticket with 5 hours of a food and beverage package. You can mingle with Tigers, Bowman and Magpies legends as well, the likes of Timmy Brasher, Gary Freeman, Owen Craig.
Hang on a second. West Tigers, did it Legends Day, is what it's called?
Yep.
Yet.
No, the players won't be there. They're going to play New Zealand the next
West Tigers Legends Day is what it's called.
Yeah.
Yet the number one Tigers legend on the planet knows nothing about it. Blocker knows nothing about it.
Look,
it's the West Tigers.
Mate, I don't care.
Shoot the messenger.
What is that? How does Steve Blocker Roach not know about a West Tigers legend lunch?
Hello.
This is ridiculous. This is the number one problem at the Tigers.
Mate, I'll tell you what the number one problem is.
Here's your first problem, Tigers. If you're listening, anyone from West Tigers listening, this is your first problem. How Blocker Roach does not know about this lunch is an absolute disgrace.
It's the West Tigers. I'm a Balmain Tiger.
Mate.
It's the West Tigers.
Listen, mate, you're a West Tiger now because there is no Balmain Tigers Western suburbs, right?
Exactly.
You
merged
as well as the rest of us. We all had to merge.
Yes.
Right? How you do not know about this is embarrassing, in my opinion.
They forgot my number. Or lost my email address.
Sorry, continue, Mido. I just had to get that out of my system.
Yeah, you did.
It's embarrassing.
That was strong. Anyway,
thanks,
it's going to be a great
day. It's very nice to have someone support you.
Unbelievable.
Gary Freeman, Tim Brasher, Owen Craig, you'll be there next Saturday, Rose Hill. Great day at the races. If you want to get involved, just go to the West Tigers website or you can contact the club on 02-8741-3300.
And no disrespect to the past players, past legends that are going. It's actually the opposite. And even if Blocker couldn't go, he might have something else on. But the fact he doesn't even know about it, that's not Western Suburbs Cricket Club that I've been a part of since I was 13 years of age. Every event they have, you know about it. You get invited, you get asked to go to, and then sometimes you can't. Mm. But the past legends, like we're not saying clubbies, past legends, they should all know about the event.
I would have loved to have gone.
You know what, Block?
You would have went. Knowing you, you would have went.
Anyway.
And you know? Blocker.
Life goes on.
And you would have been able to take all the accolades even further beyond your footy.
You know
also, you're tipping because you've got the
You know why they don't like me? Because I tell the truth. That's why they don't like me. They don't want to hear the truth. Man. They've got rid of 100 years of the Balmain Tigers and 100 years of the Western Suburbs Magpies, formed a new club, and got rid of 200 years worth of football intelligence and football players and legends. Mate, they got rid of them all.
Hopefully Tim Sheens can play a part in turning this part around. Like, again, because we all talk about results on the field. And then you hear people say, but it starts at the top or it's what happens off the field. It's 100% what happens off the field. You set a culture and a foundation and a structure around a club that if you can hold tight off the field, you see the results on the field.
We could do a whole week of shows on
because,
this topic.
Because I don't go along with the way that they think and what they do.
Well, we're
that's
gonna,
the reason.
We're going to go along with the way you think about the Big Sports Breakfast Sticky Wings Multi, which you're stepping into Loz for today, Blocker.
Yes.
You were stepping in today.
I love Sticky Wings, by the way. Saturday, Randwick, race 4, number 11, pretty wild. That's Clarkie's horse, by the way. New South Wales to win, Origin 2. That's a beauty, that one. And met Matt Burton to score a try in Origin 2, anytime try scorer. And here's the big bolo, $13.
13 clams, tab website under sport and today's offers. By the way, earlier, I think there was an error there.
Backflips if you win.
Earlier, they had it top four for Pretty Wild. And for those who did get top four, they just got lucky very early this morning, but they had to change it.
And while we're on it,
top four's a good bet. Top four, I'm okay with.
Top two, you're still a big show.
I love Aussie slang, and I love the amount of words that we have for different things. What about cash? I call it the lovely. Cash. Moolah.
Moolah. That's Moolah. Loz's favourite.
Yeah. Yes.
Loz loves the moolah.
I like the lovely. Oh, I've just put a bit of the lovely on. You know?
Yeah, I haven't used that one for cash.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the what else? There's got to be listeners out there that use different names for the lovely.
There's plenty.
Hey? Spend some coin.
Mm. That's it.
Spend your coin.
There we go.
Hard earned.
A bean.
Bean.
All right.
Put a bean on it.
Adam Pengilly from the Sydney Morning Herald joining us. Good morning, mate. How are you?
Morning, Jared. Morning, boys. How do you feel about this multi, Clarkie?
Look, I'm with him. I'm with Block. I'm going to back him, of course. I'll give him my cash.
So he's rock solid, morning.
Yeah, I'll hang tight. But my truth is I'm a little nervous. I would have preferred top four.
Mm.
Top two, I just think it's a big ask. But in saying that, I didn't expect her to win her first race either. So who knows? Maybe Block is spot on. I hope he is spot on.
There's a good BSB multi for anyone or all up for anyone to take it. Obviously, your horse, Clarky. But there's another horse racing on the program called I Call Junie Home. Now, there's odds hanging there with that horse.
Ooh, bit of an omen there. With
I Call Junie Home. Loza.
How do they get such a long name like that?
I Call Junie Home.
I like it.
Yeah, you know, as long as it gets past the powers that be, you can pretty much call it whatever you want. But, you know, a lot of names get rejected, Blocker. Plenty. But I want to ask you about your yarn today. Great yarn in the Herald. I encourage our listeners to check it out. 2002, when Queensland named TBA. And I'm sure you got some... Well, they basically admitted that they pulled off a great rort, didn't they, Queensland, on that occasion with Lottie Takiri.
One of the greatest scams, Jared. We tried to do a bit of an origin history piece. We tried to do one every year, and I sort of found there was 20 years since the TBA scandal going back 20 years ago. So had a chat to a lot of the different people involved. Lottie Takiri, Wayne Bennett was the mastermind behind it, Jared, which is no great surprise, is it really? And then Jeff Carr was in charge of the New South Wales Rugby League at the time, and it was a fascinating little tale for those guys to tell and have a walk down memory lane, so to speak, and recall all their memories from it, because at the time, it was a massive, massive deal, wasn't it? Remember when they read out the team, they only read out 16 names and said TBA on the wing?
Imagine it happened today. Well, yeah. Wouldn't.
No way you're getting away with it today.
It could happen today, but people forget, Jared, that Lottie Takiri actually came out and scored a hat-trick in that game. And Queensland levelled the series, and they went on to retain the Shield with a drawn game in Game 3 when Dane Carlo scored that try in the final minute. And Gene Miles actually told a great story about that Game 3. He said, Wayne was very clever with how he manipulated the media, and he got Greg Dowling, who just moved back up to Queensland at the time, to put a quote in the paper saying that Dane Carlo, he looks like Tarzan, but he's been playing like Jane lately. And they flipped the newspaper article to Dane Carlo on what happened in Game 3. He went out and scored the winning try.
Yeah, he did. He did.
Just fantastic, isn't it?
Nah, good stuff. Love it. So who wins Game 2 then, and why?
I think New South Wales, Jared, if I'm being honest. Generally what happens with these Game 2s is that one team wants to win, the other team needs to win. Mm-hmm. And New South Wales need to win, obviously, after losing Game 1. So I like the team they've picked. I think it's got a much better balance. Don't discount the fact that it's an early kickoff time over there in Perth. It's a 5:50 kickoff local time over there in Perth. So there won't be as dewy surface over there. It should be a harder and drier track. And I think that probably plays into New South Wales' hands. I've been trying to get my head around this hooker rotation all week with Afi Korosau and Damien Cook. The more I think about it, the more I like it. I'm not sure what Block thinks, but how are they going to use Cookie? What time in the game is the perfect time for him to come in? Do they bring him in 10 minutes before half-time, or they wait for the second half with 25 minutes or 30 minutes to go? I don't know, but I just think that it's going to be a really potent combination out of dummy half there that can nullify that Ben Hunt and Harry Grant tandem.
Mate, we had Ben Gartner on this morning talking to us about the New Zealand Tonga test. What are you looking forward to in that one, mate? We're all looking forward to the big boppers going at it. But how long do you reckon before Tonga will be a Tier 1 nation?
Well, I can't answer that question, Blocker, because I don't know exactly when they'll be a Tier 1 nation, but they're a serious football team when you look at that squad they've assembled over there for that test match at Eden Park. The one concern that they've always had is playmakers, isn't it? You look at their playmakers, they probably just lack a little bit of class and depth in those playmaking roles at 5'8" and and halfback and hooker. You've got Junior Amone from the Dragons going to start at halfback for them there on Saturday, as well as Tony Staggs potentially playing at 5'8". But their forward pack, block, I can't wait for the battle of these forwards there tomorrow. Look at that Kiwi forward pack. Yes. That Kiwi forward pack is absolutely awesome. When you've got guys like Fisher-Harris and Parfeny in the front row with Jesse Bromwich and Nelson Asofa-Solomona off the bench, Braden Smith at hooker, the Kiwis should be a legitimate chance to challenge the Kangaroos and for the World Cup at the end of the year. That's to my way of thinking anyway. Obviously, with Joey Marner going back to fullback, if they're going to put a line in the stand, they probably want to beat Tonga and probably try and beat them handsomely. I think Michael Maguire's got a really good squad heading towards the end of season World Cup.
Well, how good is it to see these sides, you know, New Zealand, Tonga, and also the English side at the end of the year in the World Cup? Test footy is back. There's an appetite for it now. Because when Australia used to play, you used to think, oh, well, Australia's going to win anyway. But I don't think that's the case now.
Oh, it's the biggest growth area for the game block, isn't it, really, when you think about it? And we need a dedicated window at the end of the year. Obviously, we've got the World Cup this year, but next year I'm very keen to see what the schedule's going to look like. I hope there's going to be a 3 or 4 week block at the end of the NRL season for them to play some more of these international games, because you're exactly right, Block. Australia's don't roll up and expect them to win anymore. Like, I think Australia's going to get challenged by New Zealand. You're hopefully going to get challenged by Tonga at the World Cup at the end of the year, maybe even the Poms if they can assemble a better team. So that atmosphere tomorrow, boys, at Eden Park, I cannot wait to see the war cries and the tribal dances. It's going to be absolutely fascinating to watch.
Great for the game.
And just great for the game that we're seeing rugby league back in New Zealand at all, let alone the Test match tomorrow, but also the Warriors match sold out against the Tigers Sunday week also at Mount Smart Stadium as well, Adam.
Yeah, that's right, Jared. I cannot wait for that atmosphere at Eden Park. Oh, sorry, Mount Smart next week, obviously, for the New Zealand game as well. So that was sold out yesterday. The Warriors announced it. I'd love to see the Warriors team just try and get a few wins together and try and build up support back home in New Zealand, because we cannot underestimate how difficult it's been for those guys in the last 2.5, 3 years being playing away from home in Australia. And I think we're seeing the longer it's gone on, probably the worse their performances have got on the field. They're really obviously struggling. So it's going to be a very emotional occasion for them to get back home to Mount Smart Stadium next week against the Tigers. Probably not a clash of the Titans, if I'm being fair, but it'll be great to see football, the live football, being played back in New Zealand.
Are we any closer with the Tigers coach, Adam?
Oh, Clarkie. I don't know. I think the Tigers were expecting some sort of call from Cameron Serraldo this week, given it was representative round. He didn't have any sort of pressing commitments with the Panthers heading towards a club game. Listen, I know he's thinking about it deeply. Speaking to a few people around the Panthers and the Tigers, I'm not quite sure if he's going to get a call in the next 24 to 48 hours. The Tigers don't want to put pressure on him and say, hey, you've got a deadline by X date to let us know, otherwise they're moving on. But they're also cognizant of the fact that they need to explore some other options if he's not going to come. So how long do you wait, Clarkie? Do you wait a little bit longer? You know, wait another few days, another 2 weeks? I don't know, because they're going to have to try and get the ball rolling at some stage. But I know Tim Sheens has sort of reached out to Cameron saying, take your time, it's okay, don't stress. But by the same token, they're probably going to want to know within the next week or so, I would imagine.
Yeah, great position for Sam Burgess if he wants to be a coach down the track. I know he's coaching up there with the Axemen at the moment, but you've got a choice between the Gladiator or Wayne Bennett. which way do you reckon he'll go?
Oh, what do you reckon he does, Block? Where would you go?
Well, you know what? It's funny you should ask me that, because I've heard some whispers down the track, and I get some good mail here and there, that Sam Burgess will be South's coach within 3 years.
Sam Burgess will not leave Russell Crowe. I'm telling you right now.
He won't?
Even though going and being under Wayne Bennett is probably the best thing for his career.
For your coaching.
Russell Crowe has been so loyal to Sam, not a chance in the world. And Sam is very loyal as well.
Yeah,
not a chance in the world will Sam turn his back on Russell Crowe and South. No chance.
Can I pose this hypothetical, Clarkie? I'm not sure. I doubt this will happen. But would South say to Sam, listen, go and have 2 years under Wayne, do some work under him for a couple of years, but you're coming back to us in your third year?
No, I don't think they will. Even though I think that would be best case scenario for Sam, I don't think Russell would ever say that. I think Russell thinks South are the best sporting team on the planet, and if you can't learn it at the Rabbitohs, then you can't learn it anywhere.
No, that's fair enough. I completely understand. I think given what Sam has been through post-football in terms of his medical retirement and paid out by South and still earning money from them, he's obviously had some issues off the field as well. South has shown a tremendous amount of loyalty to him in the last 2 or 3 years, and obviously he's close bond with Russell Crowe. I would be surprised if he was to leave the Rabbitohs, but from a purely from a coaching point of view, the chance to stand there next to Wayne Bennett for the next few years.
Wayne could still mentor him, though. That's the other thing. Sam's got a good relationship with Wayne, so he could still be a mentor from, you know, that from a distance, if you know what I mean. He doesn't necessarily need to be, you know, his assistant coach. And like I said, I just feel Sam is that person as well. He's such a loyal guy. I think he would sacrifice his coaching career or the success of his coaching career or to learn so quickly to honour that loyalty to Russell and the Rabbitohs.
I reckon he's gonna be a real good coach too. But one of the big things you've got to have if you're going to take on the coaching route is to be able to attract players. That's one of the big things. I think Sam Burgess is the type of bloke that'll attract wherever he goes.
Well, everyone loved playing with him, didn't they?
Oh, they loved him. Great leader.
And everyone talks about his captaincy, how good that was. So you'd imagine it's a pretty good start heading into coaching.
Mm. Where does Ben Hornby and John Morris fit in all this, boys? Because they're assistants to Jason Demetrio at Stouse. Like, you know, how many cooks do we want in the kitchen? I don't know.
I don't reckon Seraldo will do the Tigers' job there. I don't think he'll do it. I think what'll happen then, they'll jump straight to John Morris.
Really?
I reckon that's what the Tigers... Well, I don't know anything, but I just reckon that's the way they'll go. If I was the Tigers, I'd put on a bloke that's already done it. And I know he's had a couple of misdemeanours and all that sort of stuff, but Flano rebuilt...
Yeah, you said that. Yeah.
He rebuilt the Sharks. So, I don't know. I've got nothing to do with it, but that's the way that I'd go.
All right, Adam, racing. And we're cheering for Clarkie's horse tomorrow. Pretty Wild. Race 4, just on the drift. Gee, they're backing one in that race. Pakari Kari. The Bryce Hayes horse into $3.10, but to give Pretty Wild strength. What's your best there today? Tomorrow at Randwick.
Well, I couldn't do it to Clarky, Gerard. I couldn't tip his horse because if I tipped Pretty Wild, she'd probably still be running on Monday morning the way I'm going. My best value on the program, race five, Nothing Sweet About Me. She failed last start, but had some issues in the stewards' report. She was slow to recover. She was great winning first up. I just think getting out to 1,800 metres third up, the rail in the 6-metre position on her home deck, she can run a huge race around that double figure odd. She's a really solid sort of Saturday class mare in this off season type of year. So that's going to be me there tomorrow, boys. Race 5, number 4, Nothing Sweet About Me, the best value play on the program at Randwick.
I like those sort of names. Yeah, Nothing Sweet About Me, and it's all together. You know what I'd call my horse if I had one?
Go.
Sunil Lavaskar.
you'd do it just to see how to call the handles.
Just to see if they'd put it through. And here comes Sunil Lavaskar.
Race 5, number 4, $10 the win, $2.50 the place. Have a great weekend, mate.
See you, boy. Chat on Monday.
Brad Davidson will get his mail in about 20 minutes' time. Greg Dowling, 10 origins for Queensland in the 80s. One of Block's nemesis on the park. We'll speak to him after 8 o'clock. Robbie Slater, I believe, is coming in studio this morning.
Ah, Slater.
Yes.
Stepping into the
special
office.
Special occasion.
Love it.
And Dave Stanley as well. I got one for you, though, fellas. A mate yesterday sent me this in the city around the CBD. How do we feel about buskers now using tap and go?
No.
Well,
no, you can't put the coins in anymore. But so this bloke in town
you get it, though,
has advertised for tap and go.
But you get it, right? Because no one's walking around. Well, not many people are walking around with as in cash in their pocket now or coins in their wallet. So what do the poor guys do? How do they get their money?
Yeah.
Everyone's just got their mobile phone with their credit card on there. What are they meant to do?
What is he scrupulous?
What does he do for
definitely not?
What does he do for entertainment? Does he juggle or sing? Well,
he's on the guitar, I reckon.
He's got a guitar there.
I reckon it's quite cagey. I reckon he's moving with the times, and it makes sense. I like it.
Okay, so
I'm not sure. I'm confident that where it says, mate, if you tap, you're only giving $2 away.
Well, that's
I reckon he's probably robbing you for a couple of thousand.
Yeah,
but
they get your number then, don't they?
But look, I don't think he has a choice.
By the way, more texts about other names for cash.
The Moolah.
On here. The Moolah. How much bread have you got?
Bread.
Beer tokens. This is a good one. Tiger Marty. Arthur Ashe.
The Arthur. The Arthur. Yeah.
I'd love to tell you more, but my screen is frozen.
Oh, your computer's not having a good day, is it?
text here, listening to Blocker early this morning about the under-19s. How is he not in camp with New South Wales, even as just a motivational speaker?
Because we needed him in here.
No. Do you know what? I was Sean mate, sent that I, in. Sean, I had a great run. I'd been involved with them for, I don't know, 10, 12 years. And then the dreaded COVID came along and they've lost my number.
But remember, Loza had him
in. Oh, Loza had me in there. Oh, mate, it was unreal.
Oh, my God.
I was teaching him how to twist blokes' heads off, arms, chicken wings.
Block, you can't do that. It's what? Illegal. What do you mean, can't do it?
That's it's Origin. You can do what you like.
Put your boots there. See those steel studs? And it's compulsory. You have to wear steel studs.
I remember playing against Rod Reddy and the great Craig Young and all that, and they used to have the steel studs. We used to get up and play the ball without putting your hand on the ground, because if you put your hand on the ground,
you lose it.
Or you, yeah. Mate, they used to have a saying, like, we'll get a bit of skin here.
Oh, mate. How rough would it be?
Mate, you don't play
then.
The ball like this, look.
Our scoreboard update, and last night in the AFL, outstanding performance from the Demons, who are back on track after three straight defeats. A fair bit of stuff going on off the field as well, and they had the bye last week. They broke that three-match losing run with a 64-point win against the Brisbane Lions in the 1v2 battle in the AFL at the MCG last night. They were without their injured captain Max Gawn as well, and Tom McDonald was also out. He's got an ankle injury. Bailey Fritch kicked three goals for the Demons. Clayton Oliver, Jack Viney, Christian Petracca, they all had 30-plus disposals and dominated in the midfield. So, and they trailed at quarter time as well. The Swans, by the way, ruckman Tom Hickey's been named to return from a toe injury for the suspended Peter Laddams for tomorrow night's match against St Kilda at the SCG. Big one, 7th v 8th block.
Do you know when you talk about toe injuries and people go, oh, mate, he's off for 6 weeks with a toe injury. Clark, have you ever heard turf toe?
What's it's a common injury in the
turf
AFL.
Toe? No, it's what is turf
and
toe?
And in rugby league too. What happens is your big toe gets jammed, right?
Yeah.
And it's like a sprain, but I'm telling you,
hurts more than a break.
Mate, it is the worst thing ever, because you think, oh, you injured a toe, and people go, oh, mate, how soft are he? He's not playing for it because he's got a sore toe. Yeah. I'm telling you, it is near on the worst thing you can have done. And I know
I've had my big one broken. Michael Kasperwich got me.
Ooh. Oh, on the point of the toe.
Reverse swing, in swinger, right on the end of the toe.
Can you have a reverse in swinging Yorker?
You can have in-swinging Yorker, reverse swing, yes. That's the ball you see majority of the times. When the ball reverse swings, it hoops back into the right-hander and normally smacks you on the leg.
So it smacked you on the toe.
Smacked me on the toe, on the foot, broke my toe, yep.
Do some batters and bowlers wear like a
steel cap?
Yeah, inside their boot. No,
but we should. It's a very good point. We should.
Don't.
No, we don't, but we should. Normally I would bat in like these shoes, just in my trainers.
What do you mean? In practice or real?
No, in the game, and just put spikes in the bottom. I used to get my trainers, like my, ASICs, just joggers like this and put spikes in them.
But what did you do? How did you put the spikes in there?
Oh, you send them away. They put resole the bottom and put spikes and rubber at the back for grip. But I wanted to be comfortable. When I was batting and fielding, I'd wear the same shoes as I wear now.
What's the best sledge you've ever heard when you were batting?
I don't know.
The one you can tell.
Can't remember.
I love sledging.
Don't know. Yeah, I copped a lot. I got a fair bit. Graham Smith probably was the one who gave it to me the most, South African captain. Oh.
I
love Smitty, great fellow.
I love Joey's to Piggy Riddell one day as having a shot of gold. Joey said, mate, we get oranges at halftime. What do you get? Look at you. What do you have? Pizza.
I still love. I reckon still my favourite ever is a nondescript English player. I think his name was Jimmy Ormond in the early 90s. He's walked out to bat, Mark Waugh, and he was on debut, and Mark Waugh's like, who are you? You don't belong out here.
What are you doing?
Turned around point blank and went, at least I'm the best player in my family.
Yeah.
Ooh,
and apparently Ian Healy and Mark Taylor were laughing that hard for the next ball that they could barely, you know, stand there and field properly.
I like it.
Just sharp like that. On your debut, you walk out getting sledged by the Aussies and you turn around and give that one. That's outstanding. Give us a call, 13 53 53, on the text line, 0419 767 272. We have Graham. Morning, Graham.
Morning, fellas. How you going?
Very well, thanks, mate. What do you want to talk about this morning?
Well, first and foremost, there's a couple of things. Love your docker.
Thanks, like, Graham. Good on you, mate.
I'm not over 89 either, mate.
Nor am I. I mean, you know, if we'd have won in 89, I'd still been on the drink.
Mate, that's right. I can handle 88. 88, you know, when when Terry took out Ellery. I can handle that.
Yeah, but 89, we were 89, we were favourites. What about Benny's? What about Benny's story about how they Canberra organised for the crossbar to be raised a little bit, so he hit it.
That's gold.
Only Benny.
Only Benny, mate.
Only Benny. Good on you. And I hear you and Ciro are going on a road trip or something. Where are you?
No, we're taking the kangaroo. We're going away with a tour to go and watch the Kangaroos in the World Cup for a couple of weeks. We're only going to the semis and the finals, and also the champagne area.
Oh my god!
Of Paris, and that should be good.
That's the worry. I had you and Ciro and Terry Hill actually one night at Dapto Dogs. I was playing in the band, and you and Ciro got up and sang with me, and Terry wanted to get up. Terry, when he was playing with Manly, he wanted to get up and do a song.
Yeah, I know. You know, it's embarrassing. I only really know one song, April Sun and Cuba. It's my favourite. It's my go-to.
Did ScoMo ruin it for you?
I think that was it. I think
it would have been. Graham, only know one song.
Anyway, another quick thing, Robbie Dolan at the Factory. Everyone's got to go see that, mate. The Factory Floor is a great venue.
For Robbie Dolan, yes. Wednesday, July 20, by the way.
My band played there a few weeks ago, mate, and it was a really good venue, really great night. So they'll look after you there. The staff there are just brilliant.
Good anyway, stuff.
All right. So what I rang about was, I like the Pacific Nations concept that they've got going this week. I like the fact that they've taken a week sabbatical in the league to give everyone a little bit of a chance to, rest some of those aches and pains and tweak a few things.
It's funny for the players too, It's a little bit of a refresher for a player if you're, if you go and play in an Origin or a Test match or whatever, mid season, just a little bit of a way for the norm and that, and you come back if you're not injured, you come back pretty fresh.
Yeah, what I'd like to see, I can see Unandera on a clear day blocker. Because I live at Fig Tree, mate. Unandera's just down the road.
Mate, can I please just about the gong, mate? I'll just put my hand on my heart here, mate. What a place, Fig Tree.
Mate,
you know, I grew up in Mount St. Thomas. Isn't that beautiful? Like a biblical sort of thing for me, Mount St. Thomas.
It didn't work.
Graham, please.
Are you saying you're biblical?
Yes. Mm. It's very soothing. Mount St. Thomas.
Is there a mountain there?
No.
Didn't think so.
There is one in
Mount Pritchard. There's no mountains there.
Mate, Mount Kira.
Mate, I'll tell you the best sledge I ever got was from Billy Young. And he said to me, mate, rugby league players, you blokes are kidding. He said, where would you rather wake up, Mount Pritchard or Paris?
It's a good point. Former Wallaby Billy Young.
Yeah,
very good point.
We play out at Mount Pritchard. They play in Paris.
Anyway, very true.
Quickly, boys. The thing I rang up about was the Country Rugby League. I reckon there's a window of opportunity here for them to have like an FA Cup style competition amongst all the country clubs and, present it like Peter Volandis has done with the racing, with the highway and the midway and the Kosciuszko and all these concepts that he's got going, put a pot of gold at the end of it and have all these country clubs play each other and, culminated in a big night on the weekend. I reckon there's an opportunity there that could really... Because country rugby league's dying.
Yeah.
Down in the gong, we were down to about six turns.
Yeah, Graham...
Graham,
years ago, we used to play in a Coca-Cola knockout, and the Coca-Cola knockout was an under-14s competition. What used to happen was the winning teams of each area, so, in Sydney and also the country, the winning teams that won the grand final would have a carnival at the end of the year, and they'd have a two-day carnival and find out who was the best of the best. So who was the best team in New South Wales in the under-14s competition? I reckon we should do something with the under-19s. Mm. Have an under-18s or under-19s comp. Whoever wins that under-18s comp, say, in Wollongong and then, all the other areas, and you play in a massive weekend, I reckon that'd be unreal.
I like Graham's thinking. Even first grade, you get, the grand finalists from the year before across all the groups in Country Rugby League across New South Wales.
Go. Beautiful.
Yeah, incentive. What? If you make your grand final, the next year a little knockout comp culminating in,
Curtain
Raiser for an Origin game's the final or something like that.
Used to be called the Amco Cup, remember?
Yes,
CV Ted Ellery.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Western Division. Remember when Western Division won that?
1974.
There you go.
Yeah. Good on you, Graham. Thanks for the call. John, morning.
you know, fellas, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks, John.
Yeah, Mido, Michael, and Blocker.
Hey, buddy.
Going, mate. Just listening to a long-time Tigers fan, mate, like myself. I'm still traumatised by 1989.
It is still the most heartbreaking defeat in my sporting life, watching that.
You should be me.
Put yourself in Block shoes.
Yeah. Look, Leichhardt Oval sits. I've always said that Leichhardt Oval sits situated next to a mental asylum, and I thought it was very apt.
I nearly ended up in there.
Oh, dear. To be honest with you, mate, just wanted to say good day. Lovely hearing you on the show, and mate, keep plugging away talking about West Tigers, mate, because it seems like they're not interested in fans that have got an opinion at the moment. So just keep doing what you're doing, mate. We all appreciate it.
Ah, good on you, mate. I'll keep going. I'll tell you. I'd love to be a part of it, but, mate, obviously they don't want anyone to be a part of it. It's all been done.
No, it just seems, sadly, for a lot of us fans, it just seems like a club that's lost its soul at the moment, and that's the first thing I think that they've got to do. Yeah, getting a coach and everything else, but I just think it really needs a complete and utter culture overhaul.
Well, I've got some good news for you too. They reckon they're fighting, although it didn't come out in the government in the last couple of weeks, that they got someone eventually is going to give $50 million to Leichhardt Oval to do up. The eighth wonder of the world. How good would that be? Mm.
Yeah. It's just that venue you just can't let
Everyone once in their life has got to go to Leichhardt Oval and watch a game.
Well, look what it did for even the Waratahs this year. Like, I know that you went, you and Ciro went and spoke to them?
Yeah, we did, yeah. And they were playing out of Leichhardt. Yeah,
mate, they clearly started getting a following at the venue.
Yeah. 100%.
And won some, games against the New Zealand side.
There was 14,000 there the other week. Who did the Tigers play at Leichhardt? It was only a few weeks ago. Anyway, there was 14,000 there on a Friday night.
It just looks so good. Yeah. When they're all up on the hill, that hill's packed. It's one of the great sights in rugby.
But the other thing you've got to do too is play the traditional Sydney sides there. You imagine if you played... Imagine if you played Souths and Manly and all those sort of clubs, the Bulldogs at Leichhardt Oval. It was against the Bulldogs the other week.
Yeah, it was against the Bulldogs.
There was 14,000 there. But imagine if you play those sort of local side of games, mate, you'll pack the joint.
Good on you, John. Thanks for the call as always, mate. James, morning to you.
How you going, mate? When Dowling scored the try, it had been raining heavily for the whole week.
Right.
And we were on the hill. And 30,000 people were yelling out, "Wally sucks."
Yeah, Wally's a wanker, though. He used to call out, didn't they?
Wally sucks was on that night.
Yeah.
And later on in the evening, a bunch of young bloods were doing belly slides down the hill.
they were the days.
Meadow, you're a Bears fan?
Yeah.
1975 was out there, SCG. It was called the Wills Cup. Mm. And if you Google, you'll see a great photo of Bill Hamilton shaking hands with the Queen.
Okay.
Wow.
I'll check it out.
Do you know what? I saw Big Herman, Big Bill Hamilton, at a function for the New South Wales team earlier on in the season. What a lovely man. Gentleman. He was a police officer, wasn't he? Big Bill Hamilton, yeah?
Yeah, policeman.
Yeah, he was, yeah. Police officer. Lovely bloke.
The Bears. And also, I was out there at Leichhardt for the North Amco Cup. We were in the semi-final.
What year was that, mate?
76, maybe.
76, yeah.
I think we played Balmain, I'm not sure. Mm. But we just got knocked out at the Amco Cup. Went to a few Amco Cups game Wednesday night, Leichhardt Oval.
you know, you're talking about the Bears there. I got a phone call the other day. They're making a documentary on the great Mark Graham. Now, I'm going to put it out there. The Bears, but going around for 100 years, would Mark Graham be the greatest ever Bear? Mate, great player, Mark Graham. I reckon he's the best Kiwi player ever, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Ooh, mate, Mark Graham. Mate, Mark Graham, I'll tell you something about Mark Graham. Mark Graham was Sonny Bill before Sonny Bill. Mm.
Greatest ever Kiwi player, you reckon?
He was, mate, in my opinion, yeah. Mm.
Thanks for the call, James. We've got to get to a break. But just before the break, Block, I need you to remind us of Sticky Wings Multi's doing today, because you've taken the mantle from Loz.
Okay. Saturday, Randwick, race 4, number 11, Pretty Wild. That's my man, Clarkey's horse. New South Wales to win Origin 2. Matt Burton, anytime try scorer. And here's the price I've got for you. $13.
By the way, pretty wilds to run top two. Top two. To run in that Cornella.
Wildly back winners, mate.
Burton to score. New South Wales win. $13. We're in its usual spot. The Tab app, the Tab website under sport and today's offers. Dean Lester's still off. So I've got a roughie from Mark Hunter, courtesy of our friends at RSN. And is it Caulfield tomorrow? It is race five. And I'm not sure what number, but the horse is First Light. First Light, race five, Caulfield. I'll find that for you shortly, but it's paying $15 and around $4.40 the place. Racing tomorrow, Caulfield, race five, First Light is number 13. So race five, number 13, Caulfield, First Light, $15 the win, $4.40 the place. That is Mark Hunter's roughie. I know Dean Lester hasn't been that well, so we're thinking of Dino, and I hope he has a recovery, but and hopefully he's back giving his tips soon. So Mark Hunter is a very good tipster himself as well. Stepping in for Dino, that's his roughie. Race 5, number 13 at Caulfield, First Light. Brad Davidson, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, Jared. Good morning, everyone, and echo those thoughts about Dino, guys. Hopefully get well soon, and hopefully we'll see him back in the spring. But look, his health's the most important thing, and our best wishes to Dino and his recovery.
David, how'd your horse go Wednesday?
We scratched Clarkie. We just drew the wide gate and on a heavy track, so we're actually going around on Monday at Scone. So we'll have a crack there. Race five, number one, is the horse. So he's around a $5.50 chance there on Tab in early markets. And I think he's a good each way chance. He's first up off a long break, and 1,000 meters is probably short of his best, but he's got a little bit of class on his side in a race like that. So expecting him to go pretty close, and hopefully he can get the job done. But yeah, first up off a year break, we're hoping, and fingers crossed he runs well. I think I'm off on Monday, so I might make the trip out there and cheer him on. Yeah,
Brad, talking about price and fame, pretty wild, mate. Are you going to back it in race four?
I don't know. Look, I've got it on top. I must admit, I've got it on top.
Davo.
Good judge.
No! Don't join these blokes, Davo, please. I thought I could rely on you. I thought Davo would just come in and he would just make it clear. Guys, just take a breath.
No, state the case. Why have you got it on top, Davo?
Well, I mean, there's a few lightly raced horses here. I mean, Ricardo Carre is obviously the other one. A lot of good judges tipping it off the pretty dominant win at the provincials last time out. But when you see these Chris Waller horses come through the grades, they've just got that little bit of upside, and look, the sectionals are outstanding on debut. There's been a winner out of the race, and I just love the way she did it. I think she can settle a little bit closer from that inside draw here, and if she used that turn of foot she had on debut, I thought she'd be right in the finish. But like I said, I guess three main hopes, Picaro Kare, Wesker, and Pretty Wild, and I've lent on Pretty Wild, so good luck, Clarkie. Hopefully,
I hope you're right,
you can
buddy.
Make it 2-2.
Yeah, thank you, mate. I hope you're right.
Yeah, I hope you're right as well, because I'm invested. Soft six as it stands for Randwick tomorrow. What are we expecting from this track?
Yeah, I think we'll get to a soft five. Mike Wood said that on Formline last night. Well, Richard Haynes sort of said that he spoke to Mike Wood, and we'll start on a soft five there tomorrow, which should be about a perfect surface, guys. That's the about the perfect racing surface, and should be a good day's racing. Right, at 6 metres, but generally pretty fair when it's in that position. So expecting a pretty fair surface there. Good field sizes holding up, and should be a big day. Of course, at 11 a.m. start, as we get used to there in the winter months.
Brad, I would imagine that the experts in tipping are under plenty of pressure because you're using other people's lovely to back when you tip horses. When you're in the street, because what's happened now is a lot of experts on Sky and all that sort of stuff and you know, reporters, they've become TV stars and people know what they look like now. Mate, do you cop it from people in the street now? Do they actually know what you look like?
Oh, not me, no. Really, not at all.
Can you send us a picture of yourself so I can
so you can post it?
Yeah, I'll just put it on a few polls around.
I can describe myself well to you. A 10-year-old body with a balding head.
What, you got a head like a roll on deodorant, have you?
Look about 50 with a 10-year-old body, so I'm going well. So, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. Dude. What about the Tastiara, the Sky Racing Tastiara, the last group one of the season? Have you got a leaning there, Davo, at all?
Yeah, look, it's always a good race. Finishes the Queensland Winter Carnival, of course, guys, which has been really good, hasn't it, this year? I've really enjoyed the Queensland Carnival as normal. We've had a lot of Sydney horses head up there and get success as we see each and every year, but some locals taking a lot of the spoils as well. Look, you're not getting $17 like you were last time out in Adelaide, which in hindsight was just a massive price about Snap Dancer. But look, she's just going great guns, isn't she? She's just such a likeable horse. She puts herself on speed and just keeps on finding. And I think she's been underplayed a lot, probably now finding her right mark in, you know, being a second favourite in the Group 1 Tatiara. But, I like the way she goes about it. And off that dominant win last time out, she'd be the way I'd be leaning in the Tatiara.
$6 Snap Dancer, second line of betting, Enna Visto, the $5 favourite. And you like one at Caulfield on the backup.
Yeah, well, there's a horse called Gennady down there. Keep an eye out on, guys. This 2-year-old for the Snowden camp. Look, super dominant on debut, ran outstanding time. I think it'll be a spring player. It's going up odds on there tomorrow. Should get the job done for those looking for multis and whatnot. But just keep an eye on it. I think it's a very progressive type and should be able to win there again tomorrow and maybe a little bit of freshen up and heading towards a few spring features, I would imagine.
Your best bets at Royal Randwick tomorrow?
Yeah, I've gone the best for me of the day is race 3, number 3, Nicole Beagle. They went up $13 and Tom wasn't quick enough to get that. But I think it's around the $4.20 mark now. You might get a little bit better on race day, but look, he's just such a good fresh horse. He's 3 from 4 first up. It says 2 from 4 in the form guide because he was disqualified there first up on the Kensington track for a positive swab to a minor, basically a minor thing, I think it was, there. So he won the race well and later disqualified. So in the form guide, you won't see that as the first up win, but he's just an absolute great fresh horse, this. He's trialled well, he draws well, he gets a claim, and he likes the track conditions, and I think he's very hard to beat. Race 3, number 3, Nicole Beagle. And the other one, race 2, number 2, Deficit, really hit the line well over 1,400 last time out. I think the step up in trip suits and the form around him's been solid enough. So race 2, number 2, Deficit also for me there at Randwick tomorrow.
Okay, race 3, number 3, and race 2, number 2, 420 and 370 with Tab respectively. Have a great weekend, mate.
Thanks, guys. You too. Enjoy.